Here I am on the screen. That's what you saw last week. I am so sorry. We'll put our genius experts to work and see if we can get it fixed. But in the meantime, open your Bible, those of you who are here. And if you can hear me on the internet, chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. Ah, there it is. The Bible says in verse 1, "Now it is superfluous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints, for I know your readiness, which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Acacia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead of you, or ahead to you, and arrange in advance for the gift you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not an extraction." Is that the right word? Yeah, extraction. Something happens when you get older, your glasses are affected by the atmosphere. It's got to be the pollution. Well, here's what's going on. The Corinthians in chapter 8 were reminded by Paul about the grace of giving. And that's Paul's word. That's not ours. Paul said that matchless, marvelous grace that God bestowed on us should urge us and motivate us to be givers. Now, it's not just your money. All right, let me explain that very quickly. We're talking about an obligation of grace giving that includes the whole body, the whole person. We are to be giving to the Lord. What do we do? How do we give? Well, let me look at the back of my notes here that I was writing. Cards written, phone calls made, words of comfort spoken in a graveyard's summer shade. All these things and more beside guide our hearts, led by the Lord. We give beyond ourselves each day, faithfully keeping to His word and way. And I just threw that together. Put the music, we'll sell it, we'll become rich. I doubt that that'll ever catch on. But God wanted us to remember that when Jesus gave, He gave everything He had. He gave His body. He gave His blood. He gave His teaching. He gave His encouragement. He gave His everything so that it would be an example to us. And He did it without begrudging. He did it openly. He did it freely. Verse 6 tells us, as you see on the screen, the point of this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to get it together. Now, he mentions about how he would be embarrassed if he came to receive that offering and it wasn't prepared. He wanted it prepared. We talked about the obligation last week of giving, the obligation. We are obligated to give as we have received. The Bible told us that that we are to lay aside, and then we are to give. And that was talking about the offering. But he also wanted us to remember that we're to give our testimony. Isn't that exactly what the Great Commission is? Going to all the world, making disciples, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you, baptize them in the name of the Lord, and as we are to give, we give our witness, we give our work, we give our wealth, we give our welfare, we give everything because we have been given everything. The obligation, the operation is simple. It comes straight out of the Bible. Let every man lay in store as God has prospered him. And when you think about that, that's all he ever asks of us. He doesn't ask us to give beyond our means. He doesn't ask us to give more than we have. He asks us to give. Not just money now. He asked for our time. That's why we're here this morning. He wants us to be together. He wants us to recognize that there is an opportunity for grace giving that, number one, encourages the saints. Now in verse 2, your zeal has provoked very many. 2 Corinthians 9:2. Your zeal has provoked them. Now here's what happened. Paul went to the Corinthians. He visited with them. He said, I'm going to take an offering for the Jerusalem church who's under extreme poverty and persecution. And they willingly said, Paul, we'll be a part of that offering. And they named a number, and it was a fairly large number, apparently. So Paul goes on about his missionary work, and he comes to Macedonia. In Macedonia, they were poverty-stricken. They were persecuted. They were in every bit as bad a shape as the Jerusalem church. But Paul said, I want you to know we're going to be taking a simple offering, not going to be much. The Corinthians have promised to give this much, and we're going to collect that money, and we're going to take it to Jerusalem. And they said, hey, Paul, we want to be a part of that. We want to be part of that offering. He said, you know, you don't have much. They said, we don't care. We want to be a part of it. We want to give because their promise to give has encouraged us. And we're excited about being able to give unto the Lord. And Paul said, okay, that's fine with me. Well, he wrote a letter to Corinthians, and apparently they had forgotten their promise. You ever make a promise you couldn't keep? Ask your 5-year-old or your 8-year-old or your 10-year-old grandkids. You ever make a promise you couldn't keep? Don't ever promise ice cream if you don't have it in the freezer. I promise you, you're going to be running down to the ice cream store very quickly because they don't forget. It's amazing. They may forget to make up their bed. They may forget to take the clothes off the floor and put them in the dirty hamper, but they don't forget you promised ice cream or that you promised to bake cookies for them. They remember, and the Macedonians were going to remember. So Paul says to them, this is an opportunity to encourage the saints. Your gift has set them on fire. They're ready to move. Now, I could tell stories about people who said they gave everything, and they did, and God blessed them. And some people say, well, the people who do that are nuts. Well, they're nuts fastened to a very good bolt, because God has never allowed his people to go unblessed. Now, this is where I differ from a bunch of our TV preachers of my day. And that would include the Oral Robertses and the Swaggerts, etc. They would claim that if you would send them your money, then you would be abundantly blessed by God. all we did, Robert Tilton, all we did was enhance their bank account, and people would fall with that promise. I mean, they'd fall down. I remember Tammy Faye Baker getting on television and just bawling till her mascara ran. She didn't use that good no-run mascara. She used that Walmart special stuff that would run all over her face because it made it more real, more believable. And they would take people's money to the millions. I don't know if anybody except God in heaven will be able to reveal how much money they took from God's people. Now, I'm not opposed to giving to those kinds of things if I know them. I mentioned before, I give to Johnny Jones and his ministry, his Abounding Grace. I give to the trumpet ministry of my former pastor. I give to the Gideons. I give to different people, but I make sure that my bulk of my giving goes to my church here. And we gladly do that. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that we give all these mega dollars. I just want you to know that when you look at the income tax form that I've been filling out, we give to a lot of people, but the bulk of our money goes to the church. That's one of the old sayings I used to hear. Do your giving where you're living, then you're knowing where it's going. So if you give it here, you know that we're going to be using it for God's service. We're going to be entering more into a mission-minded year. I think that things are going to open up, and we may give you opportunity to go down to Mexico with Victor and some others who are ready to go back and start pounding the pavement. I think Pastor Velez wants to go. We were talking to him the other day when they provided meal for us, and he was excited. So we're going to get mission-minded. We're going to be reaching out to folks. And it's not necessarily going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of time, a lot of prayer, a lot of being involved, so that when we actually get on a mission-type field, we see the victory that God has promised. There's an opportunity to enrich or to encourage the saints. But there's also an opportunity, now I want you to follow this, that will enrich the sower. Verses 6 through 11. Verse 6. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give, number one, as he has decided in his heart, not how much I tell you to give, but what God puts on your heart. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all times, in all things, you may abound in every good work, as it's written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. There's a boundless generosity. Boundless generosity. I used to try to do a garden. I used to try. I'd get a pack of those seeds from the back of the comic book that's been nuclearized and supposed to produce tomatoes the size of cantaloupes. They never did. So one day I went to the Home Depot and I just bought one of these things that had some tomatoes already growing in it, just a little bit. And boy, did they grow, and they started to produce fruit, and every bird in the country enjoyed my tomatoes. Even had a little rabbit come by and nibble on the things. So I kind of gave up gardening, but I learned some things. I learned if I put out one tomato plant, I'll get quite a few tomatoes. But if I put out five tomato plants, I'll get five times that amount of tomatoes. And if I put out 30 tomato plants, I'm going to have to be throwing them at the neighbor's dog just to get rid of them, because they'll be all over the place. Because that's the promise of the harvest. If I plant a little, if I sow a little bit of seed, I'll get a little bit of harvest. If I sow a lot of seed, I'll get a lot of harvest. But that works in every other field. We had a firefighter up in our church up in Sadler. And I just clowning around with him one day, and I said, "Give me the secret to putting out fire." He said, "All right, I will. Now you listen. This will get you a fire hat. A little water will put out a little fire. A lot of water will put out a lot of fire." And there's your lesson. I said, that sounds kind of like a little seed will put out a little fruit, but a lot of seed will put out a lot of fruit. He said, that's exactly right. There's your principle. We know that. We don't have to sit back and wonder whether that's accurate or not, because Luke 6:38 tells us, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom." There is a bountiful generosity that's reciprocated. Now, I'm going to break the illusion here a little bit. If I give my money to the church, that doesn't mean God is going to put money in my independent bank account. No charge for the plug. It may be that He provide me with great health. It may be that He protect my kids and my grandkids from danger that I will not even recognize till heaven. We have no idea how God blesses those who give sacrificially, bountifully, and cheerfully. You see, the big note here is God loves a cheerful giver. There's one guy, one preacher said, this old guy in our church got a lot of money, but he's got 3 Buffalo nickels in his pocket. And he has squeezed them so tight that you can't find the nickels for the poo-poo. He squeezed it out of the nickel because it had a buffalo on it. Now, that's tight. That's really tight. But I don't believe it. I really don't believe you can get blood out of a turnip nor that out of a nickel. It's just not done. However, the concept is cheerfulness. Cheerfulness. What is cheerful? We had a lot of food on the menu last night that had a lot of pepper flakes in it, had a lot of pesto in it. Even the grilled cheese sandwich had green pestos in it. And I got to thinking, my. I don't know how my wife's going to eat here. But she did. She found a chicken parm. And then as all the girls, Stephen's 2 and Christy's 4, and they were playing with Steve and just laughing and having a time, and she said, "This makes me joyful." You remember saying that? I don't know if anybody else heard you. But just the laughter, just the fun of having them together and watching them play, you get blessings that you never anticipate. God loves cheerful giving. God will give you personal benefits. God's able to make all grace abound, verse 8, so that having all sufficiency in all things and all times, you may abound in every good work. Do you know the more cheerful and generous we are with God, the more He makes our work joyful? We have two examples of giving this week at our hospital. One was a 23-year-old girl who was involved in a terrible car wreck. They brought her into our emergency department. She was already bleeding in her brain. We got her to the ICU. Her mom was not in the state. She was out of state speaking at a conference. Dad was there, and he was devastated. We talked to her on the phone and could do nothing but just be bluntly honest. She is in bad shape. The next day when Mom got there, the nurse called me, and I was there before Mom walked in the door. Mom and Dad came in together, and they stopped at the door, and I told them, I said, now she's on a lot of machines. And I opened the door, and Mom just went into shock. I could tell, because she was non-emotional. She was shaking. That was her little girl. And the doctor came in right behind me, and he did not know that Mom had just walked in the door, and he started talking to her about the insurvivability of her injuries. Mom and Dad said, well, we need to pray, and they started to pray, and I'm in there with them. And we prayed for clarity, that God would use a tragedy to bring out victory. They asked very quickly, they said, is her brain damage irreversible? The doctor said, yes, it's irreversible. She said, what about the other organs? Can we donate something? Now, folks, this is giving to the ultimate. They're not just giving organs, they're giving their daughter. We talked about it, we went to the transplant people, they came. By Wednesday night, her heart was beating in the heart of another person down in Medical City. Her two kidneys were giving life, giving cleansing to two other people. Her liver was able to be transplanted into a young man whose liver had been destroyed by acetaminophen. And seven people were able to be saved that next day through their giving of the organs of their daughter. We had several nurses that did not agree. They are of a different ilk than I. Julie and I are both whole body donors. Why not? I'm not going to be here. If someone can benefit from this, that's fine. Then we had a 57-year-old man who came in with a stroke. Huge brain bleed. His brother was Muslim. And he called and they said, we don't know, we're going to let you talk to our chaplain. So they gave me the phone. Now, I don't mind answering the phone, but that was not going to be a good conversation. He said, my brother wanted to give. What can we do under the Muslim religion? I said, there is no prohibition. As long as the body is properly taken care of by the Muslim faith. So I called two of our Muslim doctors. They came to the room. They went through their incantations. They washed the body. They prepared that young man while he's still on a ventilator. And he's able to give a liver, two kidneys, two lungs, and a heart valve. They gave. Was there money involved? No. But then that's what Paul just said. That you are able to give in all things, in all manner. You're giving not just shekel. You're giving of yourself. And we had an honor walk for both of them. And the hospital turned out, they flooded both hallways on the way to the OR. And there must have been 150 people lining the corridor because they were honoring the gift that was being given. Folks, God will bless us in more ways than one when we give not just our money, but ourselves, our prayers, our cards, our letters, our phone calls, whatever it may be. I don't see anybody in here that can't write a card to somebody who's on our prayer list. You need the address, call me or send me an email. I'll give it to you. But we have opportunity to give, and we can. And what else will giving do? It will bless the church. The church will benefit from our unselfish giving. It's an opportunity to encourage the saint, to enrich the sower, that's us, to exalt the Savior, verse 12. Where did I go? There it is. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Do you see it? We exalt the Savior. That's what Paul's doing. He's going out of his way to build his case. You've been given grace, you're going to give. But you're not going to just give your money, you're going to give of your time. You're also going to give of your prayers, your service, your witness. You're going to give of yourselves in ways that we may not even have thought about. You're going to be givers. You're not going to be anything but honeycomb to God. And honeycombs just ooze. A sponge has to be squeezed, but a honeycomb just oozes goodness. And when the Spirit of God gets a hold of our heart, it just oozes all over us. Back at least 20 years ago, Ray Bolts wrote a song. I'm not going to sing it. I heard that amen. I did. Said, I dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. You turned and saw a young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. But then he said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Each week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One morning when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Then another man stood before you and said, remember the time that missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave. That's why I'm in heaven today. One by one they came as far as the eye could see. Each one somehow touched by your generosity. Little things you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, heaven now proclaims. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I was almost sure there were tears in your eyes. As Jesus took your hand, you stood before the Lord, and he said, My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad I had a Sunday school teacher, little old lady whose love for teenage boys and pre-teenage boys surpassed the aggravation we could give her. I'm so proud of a pastor who gave up making sausage to come preach to us. And I heard the gospel, and I gave my life to Christ. I'm so glad for the churches that have tolerated my foolishness. I'm so thankful for the people who've recognized that with just a little bit more prayer, someday I might amount to something. I'm so thankful. So thankful. How can I not give back to God? How can I not say, as you see up here, thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift? Would you join me in prayer? We're going to sing in a moment. But before we do, I want you to think back of all the things that have been given you, not in finances, but in people's lives. I'm thankful that one day a music man had me stand up and sing "Just as I Am." Is that what you've got? Yeah. "Without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." Thank you, Lord, for all the men and women who've prayed. Thank you, Lord, for this church who continually lifts us up. And it's all because one day we came just as we are, without one plea, but just that your blood was shed for me, and that you bid us come to thee. As I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Amen. God bless you, folks. I've given you back some time. Use it wisely. God bless you.